So these are three possibilities as to what "this is the day" means. Now, to be honest, most Christians, how do most Christians take this phrase? They take it to mean that this is the day, which means today, as opposed to yesterday or tomorrow. So when we as Christians say, "this is the day," what day are we talking about? We're talking about today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will begin a new series, Redeeming the Time. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of his message titled, "Yesterday is the Canceled Check, Tomorrow is the Promissory Note, Today is the Only Money You Have, Spend It Wisely."
Starting a new series. And the series that we're starting will be titled Redeeming the Time. Redeeming the time in our lives that God has given all of us 24 hours a day, and to ask the question, are we utilizing our time as best as possible? There's two scriptures that we have for the text here. The first one is Ephesians 5:16, and the other one is Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. If you could go to that next slide. As we look at these verses, and we read in both passages, it says redeeming the time. And when we think about redeeming the time, the Greek word there is actually a financial term, and it means to buy up or or buy back. It can be translated, make the most out of the time that you have. And this verb is also a present tense participle, which gives the idea of continuous action in the present. So what does that mean? That Paul is admonishing us to continually redeem the time, not just redeem it at certain points during the day, but he is calling on us to redeem the time constantly. That, you know, we may think, well, you know, when I go to work, then I can redeem the time. Or when I get off, I can redeem the time. No, there's no slack in that. It's a continual thing that you are to be in a continual state of redeeming the time. Now, we're even going to talk about in this series, because there has to be some downtime. Jesus had downtime. There was time when he got alone for rest and relaxation. So we know that that's important too. But even that can be a part of buying back the time that you have been given. This morning, our text is going to come from the 118th Psalm. Psalm 118. And we'll focus on verse 24. Psalm 118 and verse 24. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I've titled this message today, it's a long title, so you got to stick with me. It's not one of them short, catchy ones. Yesterday is the canceled check. Tomorrow is the promissory note. Today is the only cash you have. Spend it wisely. Yesterday is the canceled check. Tomorrow is the promissory note. Today is the only cash that you have. Spend it wisely. I'm only human. I'm just a man. Lord, help me believe in what I can be. In all that I am. Show me the stairway that I have to climb. And Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Lord, give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday is gone. sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Today is the only cash that you have. And when we think about this cash that we have been given, the Bible admonishes us to spend this cash wisely. You may not be a millionaire, but you got the same amount of time as a millionaire does. And the only difference is how you spend your time. Time is very important because time is life. When you go and you work a job and you give your time to that job, just think about the fact that you are not only giving your time, but you are actually giving your life. For however many hours a day that you work, 8 hours or whatever the case may be, you are giving your life for 8 hours. And so time is a valuable commodity. Time is important. And to realize how important time is, just imagine the person that goes to his doctor and his doctor tells him that you have an incurable disease. And what is the first question that this person is going to ask? Not how big is my house? Not how expensive is my car? Not how many suits that I have in my closet? What's the one question that's going to be on his mind? How much time do I have? So time is very important, and we need to realize the value of time, the value of 1 year. If you want to know that, ask the college student who failed and had to repeat a whole year. If you want to know the value of 1 month, ask the mother whose child was born 1 month premature. If you want to know the value of 1 week, ask the men trapped in a submarine for 7 days. If you want to know the value of 1 hour, ask the traveler who missed the connecting flight because his plane was 60 minutes late. If you want to know the value of 1 minute, ask my father-in-law who had a heart attack in the emergency room and the doctors and nurses were right there to help him. If you want to know the value of 1 second, ask the person who just missed being in a fatal accident. If you want to know the value of a millisecond, ask the runner who got the gold medal instead of a silver medal. Time is very important. And the psalmist lets us know that this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. What other views on this passage of Scripture? And I don't want to do an injustice to the text, so I want to present the views so that you can understand where I'm coming from. The first view, when it says, this is the day, as I research this out, the first view talks about the day of the psalmist's deliverance. And this could be either a personal deliverance or a national deliverance. And he was saying that this is the day that God brought me through my trials. God brought me through my tribulations. This is the day that God made for me. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 118, and we'll read verses 5 through 21. And notice what the psalmist is saying here, that the psalmist is talking about how God brought him through. So we can see how he can come to the conclusion that as God brought him through all this, this is the day that God has made. Verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with those who help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed around me, but the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched like the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust hard against me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song and become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me very much, but he hath not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in them, and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord unto which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So the psalmist is rejoicing because of his deliverance. Another view on what this verse means is that this is a messianic psalm, and messianic psalms refer to Jesus Christ. And you'll notice in verse 22, it says here, the stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our sight. So we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. And so this day, Jesus has become the stone of his kingdom. And this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so that's another view as to what this is the day mean. A third view refers to the fact that this is one of the Hillel Psalms. And what that means is this is a psalm of praise, and these were psalms that they sang either on their way to the festival or coming back from the festival or at the festival itself. And so this was a song that was sung, and the Jewish people would sing it. Now, we know that they sang this psalm when Jesus rode into the city. This song was on the hearts of the Jewish people when Jesus rode into the city. How do we know that? Well, it's very simple. Look at verses 25 and 26. It says, Hosanna. And that word save now is actually Hosanna. Hosanna, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. So this was a song that was on the hearts of the Jewish people as Christ marched triumphantly, or as I've said on many occasions, to offer himself as a sacrificial lamb. So these are three possibilities as to what this is the day means. Now, to be honest, most Christians, how do most Christians take this phrase? They take it to mean that this is the day, which means today, as opposed to yesterday or tomorrow. So when we as Christians say, this is the day, what day are we talking about? We're talking about today, all right? So that's the basis that I'm going to work off of on my sermon. Yeah, I was trying to just preach this thing straight through, but the Lord convicted my heart and said, no, man, you got to give some background because you want to interpret the scripture correctly. So I wanted to give that background and tell you the foundation for the message that I'm coming from today. So I'm coming from the Christian foundation. And the Christian foundation is that this is the day means today as opposed to yesterday or tomorrow. So this is the day, today is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The first thing that we need to do, since this is the day that the Lord hath made, we need to contemplate. That's what that means. It means when you think about the fact that this is the day that the Lord hath made, there needs to be some thought. There needs to be some contemplation. And then the second thing we see is that when we say this is the day that the Lord hath made, there needs to be not only contemplation, but there needs to be celebration. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So let's look at the contemplation. The contemplation, first of all, says this day has been created by the Lord. That God created this day. That when you woke up this morning, God created a day just for you. Now, it's very interesting. The word made is the same Hebrew word in Genesis 2:4. Watch this now, where it says that that God created his creation. So the same word is used here in Psalm 118. So what does that mean? That God spent 6 days doing what? Creating, shaping, and molding. And so when we think at this verse, we need to contemplate and we need to think about the fact that God created this day. Wow. Let that sink in for a moment. That when you got up, that God thought about you, and God had a special day set aside for just you. And God created a day just for you. If he didn't create it for you, then you wouldn't be here. So he has a purpose, and he has a plan for you in creating this day for you. So we go back to our theme, which is redeeming the time, buying back the time. So if God created this day for me, the worst thing that I could do is to squander this time that he created. The worst thing that I can do is let this time go that God has given especially for me. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The second thing that we see is that this time is fixed. What did he say? This is the day. Now, in American terms, we take the day as 24 hours. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this before, but everybody gets a deposit in their account. That when you wake up in the morning, wouldn't it be nice to know that every day somebody is depositing $86,000 into your account? I'd be excited about that. I'd be ready to shout to know that every day somebody was depositing $86,000 into my account. But God does it every day. Every day he deposited 86,000 seconds into your life. 1,440 minutes and 24 hours. God, every day, puts, again, time is life. That when you go to a job and you work and you give 8 hours of your time, you are given 8 hours of your life. And so what does God do? God is a gracious God, and God gives us a gift every day. He gifts us every day with 86,000 seconds. That's God's gift to you. I'm going to preach a message in this series, and the title of the message is, When Time Shall Be No More. And I'm not talking about time as far as the earth is concerned. I'm talking about your time. Because all of us, our time is coming to an end. And so we need to come to grips with that fact. But the fact is that you're sitting here today, that this morning, last night, whenever he did it, God deposited another 86,000 seconds into your account of life. Of the ability to breathe and move. And even though some of us might not be moving as well as others, we're still moving. Some people say, well, you know, I wish I had as much time as so-and-so. Well, you do. They don't have any more time than you have. They got the same amount of time that you got. And so we need to realize that God is no respecter of person. When it comes to time, that we all have the same amount of time. So the time is fixed. And then we see the third thing that as I look at this, if this is the day that God has given us, then we need to be very careful in how we spend this day. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We need to be very careful how we spend this day. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That every day in my life, that I need to take this gift that God has given me, and I need to treasure this gift that God has given me, and I need to be careful with how I use this gift. And so that means that in my life that there are some things that I need to prioritize. And you say, well, what do I need to prioritize? Well, Paul gives you the answer to that question. He says, redeeming the time, wherefore the days are evil, and be not unwise, but what? Understand what the will of the Lord is for my life. Understanding what the will of the Lord. That every day I need to, and again, we need to go to work. Those of you who have to work, you know, you have family obligations. So that's God's will. You know, that's the will of God. But then, you know, we want to take the rest of the time and say, well, this is my time. And I'm going to do whatever I want to do with my time. No, you need to understand what the will of God is. And if God's will is for you to do something with your time, then you need to seek him. If God's will is for you to sit in front of the television for 4 hours, then go, so be it. Oh, it got a little quiet in there. Now, see, when I'm preaching this, there's three fingers coming back at me, right? All right, so preach, Pastor. Preach, Pastor. Preach to yourself, too. All right, so I know. I told you, man. So see, a lot of times these messages that I preach, I've been convicted first. Then, you know, I got to try them out, right? So I didn't try this one out. So, you know, I got to seek the Lord and ask him, you know, what is his will for me this day? And again, Jesus relaxed. Jesus took time and he kicked back and enjoyed himself. So there's nothing wrong with relaxation. There's nothing wrong with unwinding. There's nothing wrong with downtime. No, absolutely nothing wrong with that. So we just need to seek the will of the Lord. Now turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is what's known as the Lord's Prayer. We often think of our Father which art in heaven as the Lord's Prayer. That was the disciples' prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. All right, this is the prayer that the Lord prayed. And notice what Jesus said when he was getting ready to offer his life on the cross. He said, I have, in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Jesus Christ, watch this. Jesus Christ stepped out of eternity into what? Time. He left eternity where God knows no time, and he stepped into time.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Yesterday is the Canceled Check, Tomorrow is the Promissory Note, Today is the Only Money You Have, Spend It Wisely. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Yesterday is the Canceled Check, Tomorrow is the Promissory Note, Today is the Only Money You Have, Spend It Wisely, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Yesterday is the Canceled Check, Tomorrow is the Promissory Note, Today is the Only Money You Have, Spend It Wisely. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Yesterday is the Canceled Check, Tomorrow is the Promissory Note, Today is the Only Money You Have, Spend It Wisely. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources, including his book titled Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships, by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.